The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference with guest speaker Lisa Bevere.
You have been entrusted with an invisible, invincible, eternal weapon, and it is time that you begin to use it, but not on one another, but to set other people free.
Learning how to use your weapon next.
I welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have you be a part of this incredible crowd of people, some 4,000 who came, actually over 5,000 registered from almost every state, many foreign countries. You may not have been a part of that crowd, but you're about to be a part of the Awaken Now Conference. And then the good news is, Betty, you can have every speaker, every one of these gifted teachers and communicators teaching under the anointing of God, something that the church and the whole earth needs to hear, America needs to hear. You can get the messages on transcript and hear these great speakers. I promise you, you are going to be inspired and blessed beyond measure. So I look forward to you getting the DVDs, CDs. Here is, under the anointing of God, one of our best friends, Lisa Bevere.
Kind of sound you can imagine.
And I really did.
I love to study the Word of God. I love how it never gets old. I love how it's alive. I love how the Word of God is likened to a two-edged sword. And a couple of years ago, I began to study the Word of God through the parameters that it was a sword. Because the truth is, we do not live by the violence of a sword, but it is time that we begin to live by the power of a sword. And so I thought, what is it about our lives that does not seem to carry the power of God? Is it because we only preach part of the word? See, I believe when you only preach part of the word, you only get part of those results. But when you preach the whole gospel, then you see the whole gospel come alive. And I am not content with what I have seen. And so if I want something more than what I've seen, I'm going to have to make room for something more in my life. So I began to look at the Word of God through those dynamics. And I love it that fencing is one of the only sports that women are just as good as men. And I think it's interesting that God would fashion a weapon such as a sword, which is a very personal weapon. It's very personalized to the person that bears it, and would put both the sword of the Spirit, His Word, in both the hands of His sons and His daughters. Actually, I learned that fencing is actually a sport women excel in because it requires strategy, intuition, and small strategic moves that are endurance. And so I was getting ready to do a radio interview shortly after the book Girls with Swords was released. And the lady that was interviewing me was so excited. She said, "You don't understand. This is so exciting for me. I live at a fencing studio 3 days a week. My son studies fencing." And she said, "The master fencing teacher is actually a woman." And she said, "I have a story to tell you." She said, "My son had to work his way up to the level where this woman would instruct him. He was so excited. He thought, she's going to teach me how to disarm the enemy in one move. She's going to teach me how to parry and respose." And so he did all his best moves for her, and she watched him. And she said, "This is what I want you to do for the next week. For the next week, I want you to get up in the morning, and all throughout the day, I want you to stand in front of your mirror, and I want you to practice your on guard position. I want you to look and say, 'On guard.'" And he was like, "Really? What else do you want me to do?" And she said, "No, that's it. That's all I want you to do. I want you to practice your on guard position." He went home, he looked at himself, he thought, this is stupid. I can't believe I'm standing in front of my mirror yelling on guard at my own face. This is so boring. I can't wait till she actually teaches me something I can use. So he came back to the next lesson and she said, all right, show me your stance. Show me your on guard position. And he struck it for her and she said, you didn't practice, did you? And she said, well, it just seems stupid. It just didn't seem like it was any use. And she said, oh, you have underestimated the power of knowing what your opponent sees when they look at you. And I begin to wonder, what does the opposition see when they look at us? Do they see a united body? Do they see people with one heart? Do they see us loving one another well? What is our on guard stance? Because see, there's only one mirror we're supposed to look in, and that is the mirror of the Word of God. We are supposed to reflect the Word to this earth. And so in that dynamic, I want to unload some practical ideas for you about fencing. Because whether you know it or not, you have been entrusted with an invisible, invincible, eternal weapon. And it is time that you begin to use it, but not on one another, but to set other people free. You have a sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God. God places it in your hand, and you must understand the need for it in this moment. See, I believe only eternity will reveal the brilliance of the cross. As I began to study the Word of God through the parameters of fencing, I actually realized that the cross is God's sword with the point in the ground. When a sword is in the ground, you see that it looks like a cross. And I actually discovered a scriptural backing for this when I was reading Hebrews 6:13. It says, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. If you guys can put the diagram back up there, when you look at the diagram of a sword, you find out that the hilt of the sword is the crossbar and the handle. We always thought the hilt meant to the uttermost. It's always been first definition, a portion of a sword. It goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. What was his word? Jesus, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. You have to hold a two-edged sword with both hands. In Adam, all sinned. In Christ, all are forgiven. Jesus was the lamb slain before there were sheep. And he was the sacrifice made for you and I before the earth was even founded. God caught you long before you fell. And on the cross, God leveraged all he was for all that you could be. See, on the cross, Jesus didn't just take your place. He gave you his. He gave you his name. He gave you his authority. He gave you his mission. He gave you his perspective. He seated you in heavenly places far above. So why are we not walking in the way of the cross? First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, This is Paul talking, for I have decided, and I think this needs to be something we decide, to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he goes on to talk about what happened in that moment. He said, none of the rulers of this age understood this mystery. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, we know in context of the parable of the vineyard that the rulers of that age thought that by crucifying Jesus, they were going to get the inheritance. What is it they didn't know? They didn't know that by crucifying Jesus, they didn't get the inheritance. They became the inheritance. We are crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, we live. We died with him. We came up with him. And it is time that we understand what that looks like. And so to explain it, I'm going to ask you some questions that God began to ask me last year. I've been a Christian since I was 21. I am now 53. And I have to tell you something. I was not able to answer a question that I should have been able to answer. So I'm going to bed one night, 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm just falling asleep. And God asked me the question, Lisa, what does it mean to carry your cross? Well, I personally don't feel like that's a 2 a.m. question. I feel like that's a 10 a.m. question after I've had 5 shots of espresso. I do not feel like that is a fair question to ask anybody at 2 a.m. I was just falling asleep, and I just kind of murmured, it means to lay down my life. And he said, no, deny yourself is lay down your life. What does it mean to carry your cross? I said, well, to sacrifice my will. Again, Lisa, that is denying yourself. What does it mean to carry your cross? At that point, I knew I didn't have the answer, but that didn't stop the questions. The next thing I heard was, where do you keep your cross, Lisa? How do you know when you're carrying it? How do you know when you've left it at home? What does it weigh? It's an order, not an ornament. Why can't you answer me? I remember I sat up in my bed. I said, I don't know. My goodness, I'm a minister and I don't know what it means to carry my cross. And he said, go get your list. See, earlier that day, I had made a list. I was staying home and caring for my mother full time, and I knew I wasn't going to go to church. And so I decided to pull the most accurate source of Facebook and Twitter. I asked them, what one word does the cross mean to you? I had over 500 responses, which broke down to 36 different answers. I had scribbled out all of the answers on an envelope in John's office. I climbed out of bed, went and got the envelope, began to look at it. Realized I couldn't read my own handwriting. So I began to type it out on my iPad. And as I began to type out all of these words, I began to list them in descending order. When I got to the last word, I felt the presence of God come into my bedroom. And he said, behold the cross. I'm gonna have them put up for you the words that I wrote down that night. He said, all that the cross provided for you is what you carry out to the world, and you do it by following me. See, my cross is different than your cross. God doesn't want your sacrifice. He was your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. What has the cross of Jesus Christ done in your life? I can't even tell you what all it has done in my life in the time that I have remaining. But everywhere I go, I get to carry the hope of the cross. And so should you. You have a personalized message of what God has done in and through your life that He wants you to carry out to a world that is desperately looking for them, for an answer, for Him to do the same thing in their life. You must know that God has chosen you to carry your cross. See, what we carry is extraordinary, but our package is ordinary. We carry around this treasure of an extraordinary gospel in an ordinary life. So I'm just going to ask you to do something with me. Can you stand to your feet right now? I need you to begin to look into the Word. I need you to find out who it says you are. I need you to change the way the world sees us by seeing yourself the way God sees you. Becoming all that God created you to be is at once your best offense and your defense against the enemy. We need to stop using the sword against friends, and we need to use the sword of the Spirit to begin to sharpen each other's swords and hone our skills and remember that the greatest weapon is a life laid down. I'm going to pray over you because I believe that the cross of Jesus Christ has positioned you to be a hero. May you carry it with love in your heart, hope for the future, and faith that God will see a revival overtake this nation and that America will rise up once again glorious in love and strength and power until the kingdoms of our God become the kingdoms of our earth and we begin to see the God that we declare be the God that we actually represent well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I am so glad that you, if you didn't get to attend the conference, you are attending it right now. And many of you who did have been saying for some time, I mean, we heard a lot of people say, when do we get the DVDs? Because we ordered them there. And of course, we got them all ready and edited and packaged beautifully so that we could get them to you. But many of you who did not get to go to the Awaken Now conference are now going to get to attend virtually every session of it, hear all the truly anointed speakers. And if you will make a gift to help us drill water wells of $100 or more, we're going to send you the DVDs, CDs, and a transcript, a written transcript of the messages. And I'm telling you, this is something you'll want to share with your church. I really believe if you were to take Sammy Rodriguez's message, which is really in total about 20 minutes, and then the prayer that I pray with him at the end, if that was played, Betty, in every church in America, I believe we would experience awakening. I really believe that. Dr. Tony Evans, what a message. Governor Mike Huckabee, really speaking as a pastor, leader, as a statesman to the nation. Dr. Ben Carson, gifted neurosurgeon. All of the other speakers that were there, so truly anointed of God. And you get these messages. Now, I want you to look in on something that I know beyond any doubt is going to grab your heart. Betty and I have found the greatest joy in becoming a helper, a servant to people who feel like no one ever noticed. Now, you may feel that way. I mean, I know there are people who feel like nobody notices me, but God does. And you are so vitally important in His kingdom purpose. And you are the ones that can show the most overlooked, forgotten people on the planet that God notices, God loves, and God cares. And what you're about to see is going to inspire you to take the most profound, positive, transforming action possibly. You're going to be moved by love. Watch very closely.
Such innocence. Such helplessness. They didn't choose when or where they would enter this world, or the circumstances that would meet them. Born into uncertainty, into scarcity. In the womb, they were nourished. And for as long as possible, they find this too in the arms of those who bore them. drinking in love at their mother's breast. They wander little from this dependence, for it's a powerful force, this love, this sustenance. And for a time, it is enough. But then arrives the day when it no longer is, and their bodies, immune systems, still young and weak, are introduced to a poison. Diseases, born in their only water available. Water, stagnant and shared with animals, contaminated and lethal. Their systems are shocked, attacked and assaulted. And love finds its limit, as a mother's care is undone by a substance meant to sustain. The simplicity of clean water offers life in such abundance. Though it's something to which we give almost no thought at all, water, clean water for these mothers, is everything. Because what they hold in their arms is their everything.
You know, I'm really grateful that God moves my heart. Sometimes I think I feel a little bit embarrassed because my heart's tender and because I weep. But I guess I'm grateful. I remember when Lazarus died and Jesus came to the graveside and everyone was weeping. And the question comes up, why did that brief verse, Jesus wept, just two words, why was it there? What's the significance of it? I think the significance is, and I really believe it's important to grasp this, was not that he wept, but why did he weep? Because he knew he was about to solve the problem. He was going to raise the dead. Why did he weep? Because they were weeping. He felt their burden. Now, I honestly believe this, and I believe it's a supernatural thing that God does in our lives. I believe that he will give us compassion, like a mother has for a child with fever. See, you suffer with them. I believe that God lets us feel the broken heart of mothers, grandparents, family members who have lost a loved one for whatever reason. And I believe we can feel that pain. I think many of you told us we feel, at least to some degree, what you and Betty felt when you lost your daughter, especially around holidays, Christmas, New Year's, and you really meant that. And that lifted a heavy load, just the fact that you cared. But now think about this. If you have compassion and you care and you have the solution to the problem, and we do, it is literally, as Jesus said, just a cup of water in his name. That's literally how we give it. We show them his love. We show them he cares, and we meet their need, and you make it possible. Betty and I could weep and care with the missionaries, but we couldn't drill water wells if you didn't help us. We might drill one or two, but with your help, we're going to drill 500 in targeted areas in 12 nations. If you will help us, some of you can drill a well. Please do. $4,800, that's the average cost. Some of you could give $2,400 and immediately pray, someone join me, we got a well. Some give $1,200. This happens frequently. And then three others step up and we've got a well. But the majority of our support comes from people who give gifts of $48 and $144. $48, 10 people water the rest of their life. $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. If you make a gift, we're going to send you, for any gift you make, the CDs of the Awaken Now Conference. If you make a gift of over $100, we're going to send you the CDs, DVDs, and the transcript, the written transcript of the messages. These are going to be a treasure that you're going to share because you've shared the treasure of life through Water for Life. Would you dial the number right now, take your bank card, or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the best gift you can? Please do it. If you write a check, make it to Life, because that's what you're giving. I want to thank you in behalf of every family member you help, every child whose life you save and touch, in behalf of all the missionaries, for making that call. Don't be distracted. Go to the phone or go online. Please, right now, and make the gift God put on your heart.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the Awaken Now audio series, a once-in-a-lifetime gathering of 23 anointed speakers proclaiming a powerful message for every believer in God's kingdom. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Awaken Now on both audio and video, along with the companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Well, it's no exaggeration to tell you you're going to be blessed by every speaker and teacher in the Awaken Now Conference. This is something you'll want to share. You will treasure it, and you will share this treasure. Thank you for helping us share Water for Life. 500 wells, that's the goal. The blessing, the glass sculpture, beautiful. You will be amazed at the different areas you put it in, how it reflects the color. And you and I are an expression of His life, His light, His love, and we release a river of living water. Thank you for having a part. Thank you for sharing God's heart.
Things that I was fighting with before, you just let them go and you give them to Him.
Former linebacker and now film star Brian Bosworth, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.